such a lonely road on which I travel. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode 590. And, should I make the announcement now? I suppose I should. We're going through a transitional period here, honestly. And, should I just tell you that, I'll just tell you. I'm sorry, I had to plug in the power a little bit more. You know, I hate to run down the batteries if I don't have to. The real thing going on is that I'm about ready to just put the brakes on the Life Autistic, and go in another direction. I've been talking to Lisa, my wonderful wife, about the possibility of doing a podcast together, and that may either spell the doom of the Life Autistic, or it might, I don't know, you know, it really depends. I think it gets down to the point to where I need to be careful of my bandwidth on my server. I serve all these audio files myself. That's why they're so low bandwidth, very low bandwidth. 8 kilobytes per second low bandwidth, which is pretty small for voice and sound. Depending on how things go, we may have to kill off the Life Autistic in favor of the next thing, which I believe will be the Quay Information Exchange. Funny, because there's actually some history to that name, and what we were doing. I had the chance to, I had some time off, Lisa got sick, so I had to stay home. And listening again to our local radio station, which is, I don't mean to be rude to those broadcast in my area. I'm sure they are quote-unquote professionals, you know, and that they expect a certain amount of respect. They expect respect from that. That sounds good. But honestly, I think I can do a better job. Now, I don't want their job, because I'm sorry, I think I would take a pay cut to have to work for the radio station. Because, frankly, you know, it's got a small audience, you know. If you got 5,000 people and not all of them listen to the radio in the morning, except when it's snowing, like it's starting to snow right now. You know, I don't want to mess with that, but what I would say, hey, I could give them an alternative, something a little more, not to be rude, a little more lively. And I'm not saying I'm great and I'm wonderful, but you know what? It's just a part of the marketplace, you know? Do I think I could give a better product? I don't know. I'm going to throw it out there and see what happens. So, this episode 590 of The Life Autistic, I don't think it'll be the last one, but it's the first announcement of the transition. We don't have the equipment together, and frankly, I won't be doing the recordings on the road. You know, I'll be doing them more at home. So I don't know if that spells the death of the podcast, The Life Autistic, which is what this was. I mean, I'll still be making recordings, but it might go back to being quasi-indefatigable dentalist. And things like that, you know, not podcasty style like the Life Autistic has been. Because I know that if you don't do a new podcast, it tends to kind of roll back, and there's really no point in doing it because it tends to be kind of a live thing. Well, it tends to be something that kind of encourages a kind of currency, you know, being current. which means if you're not putting new recordings out there, your podcast gets stale really fast. And so, you know, I really don't know the ramifications of all that, except to say that we might be pulling this podcast off and shoving it all over into the recording section. Instead of running it as a podcast, it'll go back to recordings like Quasi-Antithetical Zenilith is. And instead, we'll have the new podcast. Of course, it all depends. We might decide to put it up on a different thing. It just kind of, I don't know, you know. Kind of depends on funding and stuff like that. You know, the funding of zero is what I usually have. So it'll just kind of depend on what kind of technologies I can work out and what the possibilities may ultimately be. Now we're coming, you know, this isn't going to be the topic for this day. This is just like programming notes that I wanted you guys to know. Here's what I was thinking about. I don't know if I've talked about this before, about trusting God. And I think most people, even those who are professed Christians or religionists, they don't tend to really trust God. And let me give you the example so that you can understand what I'm talking about. Because I'm sure people will say, well, I'm being offended by this guy who's saying that I don't trust God. And I said, I'll lay it out before you, and you can make up your own mind what you think. And, you know, you could say, well, that's that crazy Mormon. And you go, well, I'm sorry. I said, it's not just Mormon. I'm sure, you know, there are plenty of Mormons that are really kind of cruddy this way, too. And I'm sure I am to a certain degree. I think we all are because we don't really think about it. So let me lay it out for you. God has said that he will punish the wicked. He has said so much to the point to where we shouldn't get too weird about the wicked. Christ himself talked about being taken advantage of. There we go, that'll work. And he said that you're gonna, you know, if you're compelled to go a mile, you know, go another mile with that person. If another person compels you to go a mile, go an extra mile for them. And you go, well, that doesn't sound like the thing you should be doing for people who are compelling you to do things against your will. That's what compulsion is. If a person smites you on the cheek, here's one that's a little more visceral and makes people think. If they smite you on the cheek, offer them the other one. If they take your coat, and I seem to recall it said taking your coat at the law, which means like if somebody sued you for it, or something along those lines, that you should offer them your cloak also. Now, this is really not part of our tradition at all. This is not the way we think or the way we work, by and large, as a culture. Excuse me. You can say it's Christian all you want. You know, you can say we have a Christian culture all you want. You know, the United States is a Christian country, and I beg to differ with you. Not because this place is chock full of a ton of people who claim Christianity is their faith, but that we have a sincere deficit in followers of Jesus Christ. And it's sad to have to make that distinction because so many people have wrapped themselves in, I'm a Christian, as if that's a good thing. And so now I have to separate, Christian, whatever. The question is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you actually know what Jesus Christ told you to do? And are you trying to do it? see all these circumstances, all these things. These aren't things I cooked up out of the air. These are basic things that you probably learned in Sunday school as a kid, but you know what? You never really did anything with it. They were just nice stories, kind of like the ones in the Old Testament. Cool, nice stories, but they really didn't have any meaning for you, I guess. Which is sad, you know, because that's really what Christ was trying to get across with these ideas. God says vengeance is mine, so that means we shouldn't be vengeful. Does that come back on these wars that we've been having lately, which are mostly just wars for vengeance? Our second war with Iraq and the threatenings that we kind of spew out to other countries that we feel like are threatening us. Isn't that us getting vengeful for 9/11, you know? Guys came over and bombed one of our buildings, killed 3,000 people. Some of our buildings, sorry. Kill 3,000 people. How does that make you feel? And then you go, "Rah! I'm going to kill, kill, kill." And that's part of what we're engaged in now. Now, frankly, it's become more of a political thing. You know, it's all very much about who's going to win this, who's going to win that, who profits off the circumstances and who doesn't. We're not leaving vengeance to God. That's what you would do. I remember this thing. There was a killing. An Amish school. Several girls were killed by this guy. And he, of course, finally turned the gun on himself and killed himself. You know. And the reaction of the Amish is absolutely indicates that these people are trying hard to be followers of Jesus Christ, as opposed to just being kind of, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church on Sunday at this church or that church, and I'm a Christian," and like putting on a badge that's supposed to make you look better or feel better, supposed to make people think well of you, without really having done anything. You know, those Amish were an example of people who could say, "You know what, this was a horrible situation, but we're not going to seek vengeance. Vengeance is for God to seek. We're going to seek reconciliation, and we're going to give an outpouring of love to these people who hurt us." Sense of forgiveness. At the funeral for those girls, that was what was talked about, was about the pain and suffering, not particularly of the families whose girls had died, although some. There was a lot said about the family of the man who did this heinous act. The man who killed these girls and then committed suicide, which seems to be an interesting... It seems to be what a lot of people do these days. And just the absolute wonder of the family of this man. Because they expected for, you know, they came from our culture as opposed to an Amish culture. And they said, they were flummoxed. They thought they were going to get screamed at and yelled at and all that vitriol thrown at them. Because that's what our culture does, right? If you're angry and upset, you've got to find somebody to throw it at. And they didn't. They didn't do it. Sad, upset, but turned a hand of love and fellowship to that family, saying, "You must be hurting too because of what your son did." And just the stark amazement that people could be so, dare I say the word, Christian. Far beyond what most quote-unquote Christians would be. why are we retaliating? Why are we worried? Why are we trying to punish evil so bad? Is it just vengeance for wrongs done to us? Why don't we do what Christ suggested? Leave vengeance in the hands of God. Why don't we, if we're heavily taxed, you know, if you feel oppressed by heavy taxation, if you feel oppressed by heavy government, like I do, and feel like you would like to have some more freedom, God promises that that freedom will come. It doesn't mean that we don't ask for it. It doesn't mean that we don't cry it out and say, we would want freedom. It doesn't. We shouldn't take up arms, I think, at this point, unless God tells us to try and make this happen. Maybe we should. I don't know. Let's ask God. And I know that's a tricky statement for a lot of quote-unquote Christians, because, you know, it's that whole faith in God thing. You know, we talk about Jesus, and we talk about God, and it's always kind of in relation of, you know, God, I want this, and you need to come and help me with this. Instead of saying, God, what is it that you want, and let me be an instrument in your hands to accomplish your purposes. Because I trust you. I trust God. Now, you know, I'm not saying I'm perfect at this. I'm not even saying I'm any good at it. But I just did over the past maybe week or so, I've heard this, or I think I've heard it, and I've read it in the scriptures, and it's come to mind. It says, you know what? We really are faithless. A lot of us, a lot more than we probably think, just wearing the badge of Christianity on our lapel, just wearing the little pin like so many people wear the flag of the United States. If we have a little pin that said I'm a Christian, that doesn't necessarily mean much. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you do what Jesus Christ asked you to do? Do you have faith in Him? You have faith in God that they... Oh, okay. Here's the Mormon stuff, because for us, God the Father and Jesus Christ are two different people. But it's not a huge thing to not go there, but just to say, what God's been teaching you, are you doing it, or do you just pay it some lip service? And so often, I'm sorry to say, we are such a bunch of lip service folk, you know? we don't really do any of it. Now, I've seen wonderful people that do, from all religions, from all walks of life. All these things, wonderful people. God will bless them. God will bless them more than He blesses the rest of us. And if you're having a hard time, if you're feeling grumpy, upset, and angry, and that life isn't going your way, maybe you should turn to the one source who could really help you. Because I for one, don't trust government. I, for one, don't, you know, and I have a tough time trusting people. Because I've seen what people can do. Now, there are some wonderful people out there. I'm so grateful for people who treat me kindly, who are wonderful to me. And it makes me want to go out and be wonderful to other people. This thing is really infectious when it happens. When people treat you well, when you're around people that genuinely are kind to each other and even love each other. What a wonderful thing. Anyway, so you know, I don't... Have I exhausted that whole thing? Is that it? Oh, my gosh. I need to go with something else. This is something that's going to come new with the new podcast, is we're going to expand things a little bit, talk a little bit about, you know, I talk about religion on occasion, and I think I will continue to do that. Maybe I do it too much. Some people think. I don't know. We get to politics, you know, honestly, I hope not too much, just for the simple reason that I think it's really kind of a small thing. I mean, it's important to do your duty as a citizen in voting, but to get all exercised about who is the president and things like that, in an ideal world, now, we don't live in an ideal world, but in an ideal world, whatever the president came up with would probably not affect too many people. The function of government will be small and isolated and probably wouldn't touch people's lives too much. Right now, government and policy and the doings of people in your state capital or your national capital probably affect you quite a bit. Taxes, extra work that you have to do to please the government, to please the bureaucracy. You know, just in the United States, just the raw amount of forms that there are to just do nearly anything, especially things that involve money, you know, which unfortunately we're in a position of needing so much of, half because government kind of makes life that way. You know, you need a lot of money to skip by in this world, and you go, well, that's government, that's partly government's fault. We could barter a whole lot more, or we could find other ways of handling these problems if it wasn't for government saying, oh, no, 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 you have to do it our way. It has to be the way we want it done. So, oh, I can't believe what good coverage I have in Mascaro. Okay. Have faith in God. Have faith that He will take care of the problems. If you are authentically in need of vengeance or retribution or things like that, God will handle it for you. I'd like to put up a sign in front of my house, right next to the Ron Paul for President sign, if I ever get a hold of one. Or make one, or whatever. One that says, God will punish the oppressors. So the question becomes, are you one of the oppressors? And if you are, you should anticipate God will punish you. And it won't be pleasant. It will be probably a spectacle. So that those you have oppressed can come and say, oh, yes, vengeance at last for the things that this person oppressed me with. You can anticipate it. You can count on it. It will come. God said He will do it, and God keeps His promises. If you don't believe it, then you don't have faith in God. And you might need to get some. I know sometimes it's hard because you see oppressors out there hurting people, and, you know, and you wish, and you keep saying, well, where's God? Why isn't God punishing them right now? God needs to punish them right now. And you go, God will handle this at the time when God will handle this. Don't, you know, who are you to dictate to God when is the right time and the wrong time? I know personally for myself, my timing is usually pretty bad. The few times I do have good timing, it's usually due to inspiration from God, which just gives me more faith that He knows what He's doing much better than I could possibly know. Well, it's starting to snow a little bit more up here in beautiful Mascaro. It's starting to snow a bit. And I probably need to knock this one in the head. This one's been having real faith in God. I hope I do a better job. I hope you do a better job. Because I think it puts all of these other things into perspective. You know, wars, politics, choosing a leader for your country, how you feel about other people. If they do you wrong, don't worry. it'll get straightened out. You know, if you really want to get them back, just smile and go on with life and treat them nice, because you're worried about your ultimate fate. They need to be worried about their ultimate fate. And if they're not, and if they're being oppressive, or they're being sick or twisted or something like that, or if they have a mental imbalance or whatever, let God work that out. Let God work that out. This is Jay Nemro. You've been listening to episode 590 of The Life Autistic. Let me make sure I got my mouse going here so I don't feel like an idiot. Have a great day.